Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Civilian Injuries by Military Personnel Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 15, 2013, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Levin v. United States. The question in this case is whether a civilian can bring a battery claim against the United States for an injury caused by military medical personnel while they are performing their duties, or whether such a claim is prohibited by sovereign immunity. To discuss the case, we have Kendra Rotunda, who is an associate professor of military and international law and the executive director of the Military Law and Public Policy Institute. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Rotunda.
The case I'm going to discuss today is Levin versus U.S. The issue is whether a civilian may bring suit against the United States for battery committed by a military physician acting within the scope of his employment. The case considers the interplay of two statutes, 10 U.S.C. 1089, otherwise known as the Gonzales Act, and portions of the Federal Torts Claim Act, 26 U.S.C. 2680. The Federal Torts Claims Act waives sovereign immunity in some instances, but does not allow the plaintiff to sue the United States for battery. The Gonzales Act protects military medical personnel from individual tort liability committed in the scope of employment. The facts are these. The petitioner, Mr. Levin, is a military veteran who was receiving health care from the Veterans Administration. The VA referred him to the U.S. Naval Hospital in Guam for cataract surgery. The petitioner first consented to the surgery, but then, on the day of the operation, changed his mind and withdrew consent. The surgeon nonetheless proceeded with the operation, which resulted in severe damage to Mr. Levin's eyes. Both parties agree that Mr. Levin will require ongoing treatments, and it is unclear whether those treatments will ultimately be successful. The damage to his eyes may or may not be permanent. In terms of the relevant procedures, Mr. Levin proceeded pro se and filed suit in a Guam District Court alleging two claims, one, battery, and two, medical malpractice, against the naval doctor who had performed the surgery. The U.S. moved to substitute itself for the surgeon, the plaintiff did not object, and the court allowed the substitution. The U.S. then moved for summary judgment on both claims. The court granted summary judgment on the malpractice claim because the plaintiff, who was pro se, had not produced an expert witness to establish medical malpractice. But the court denied summary judgment on the battery claim, finding that sufficient evidence existed to move forward with that claim. Levin, after all, withdrew consent to the surgery before the operation. The U.S. then moved to dismiss the battery claim for lack of subject matter jurisdiction, arguing that the Federal Tort Claims Act excludes battery claims from its waiver of sovereign immunity. Or, put another way, the government had not consented to battery actions, but only to negligence actions. The court agreed with the U.S. and dismissed the battery claim for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. The plaintiff, Mr. Levin, then appealed to the Ninth Circuit and argued that the Gonzales Act and the Federal Tort Claims Act, when read together, would permit his lawsuit against the government for the intentional battery of the military's doctor. The Ninth Circuit affirmed the lower court. In a nutshell, the court held that Mr. Levin's reading of the two statutes together was plausible, but was not the best or most natural reading of the statutes. It relied on a series of cases discussing the waiver of sovereign immunity and concluded that there is no waiver unless it is unequivocally expressed. The court said it could not conclude that Congress intended to waive sovereign immunity by stringing together a few statutes. It held that Congress should have expressly waived sovereign immunity if that is what it intended. Now turning to the legal analysis. The arguments in this case center really around two main issues, the proper interpretation of two relevant statutes, and two, the appropriate standard for determining if Congress has waived sovereign immunity. Petitioner's argument. The petitioner argues that the Gonzales Act was not designed to leave victims of battery with no legal recourse. Instead, it was intended simply to direct that those cases be decided under the Federal Tort Claims Act. This interpretation protects military doctors from personal liability while still allowing the victim a limited recovery under the Federal Tort Claims Act. Plaintiff argues that leaving a whole class of tort victims with no legal recourse effectively gives military medical personnel a license to commit wrongful acts. Plaintiff also argues that the two statutes, that is, the Gonzales Act and the Federal Tort Claims Act, should be read together, including their purposes. The purpose of the Gonzales Act is to protect military medical personnel from malpractice liability. The purpose of the Federal Tort Claims Act is to establish sovereign immunity while also allowing for recovery in some instances. Plaintiff maintains that it is inconsistent to hold high regard for primary purposes of the Gonzales Act, but not apply that same regard to the Federal Tort Claims Act, which is to allow redress, not solely to protect the personnel. Plaintiff compared the Gonzales Act to similar statutes that govern other agencies, including statutes that govern legal malpractice by the Department of Defense and statutes that address medical malpractice by Department of State employees, Department of Veterans Affairs employees, and by public health employees. Other circuits, he points out, for instance, the Seventh Circuit, have held that Congress did not intend to immunize government employees from battery claims unless the plaintiff had an alternative remedy. That is, when interpreting similar statutes, courts have reinstituted the Federal Tort Claims Act waiver of sovereign immunity. Plaintiff argues that claims arising in the military context should be treated no differently than the same type of claims arising in other similar contexts. Now turning to the arguments by the United States. The United States rejects plaintiff's collective reading of the two statutes. Rather, it adopts a stricter interpretation. It broadly argues that there is no waiver of sovereign immunity unless the statute unequivocally and expressly waives immunity. The United States argues that if Congress wanted to create an avenue for battery claims, it would have achieved it through statutory text, not through what it calls an elusive search for the purpose of the Gonzales Act. The United States argues that Congress could not have intended to amend the Federal Tort Claims Act by passing another law which had the discrete sole purpose of protecting military medical personnel from malpractice liability. The United States maintains that the Gonzales Act serves this singular purpose. It argues that reading the Gonzales Act to reinstitute the waiver of sovereign immunity under the Federal Tort Claims Act reads in what isn't there. The United States relies on a 1991 Supreme Court case, U.S. v. Smith, which held that waivers of sovereign immunity must be unequivocally expressed. It argues that a plausible interpretation of two statutes together cannot amount to a waiver of sovereign immunity. Rather, the waiver must be clear and unequivocal. The U.S. argues essentially that there is no play in the joints, no room for interpretation. Petitioner, on the other hand, argues that Smith is not applicable. It distinguishes Smith by saying that Smith involved a different statute with different provisions, different structure, history, and purpose, and that it is just not analogous to this case. Turning now to the oral argument before the court. During oral argument, the court directed the bulk of its questions at the government. Members of the court, such as Justices Scalia, Alito, Ginsburg, and Breyer, peppered the United States with critical questions. Specifically, the court probed the government's positions that all waivers of sovereign immunity must be unequivocal. Chief Justice Roberts seemed to reject that view, saying that the unequivocal standard certainly applies to waivers of sovereign immunity in the first instance, but said, you don't keep getting that benefit over and over and over again when you are talking about an exception to an exception to an exception. Chief Justice Roberts also seemed to invite the government to narrow its position by asking whether it wanted the court to decide broadly the standard of for waiver. When the government responded affirmatively, Justice Roberts observed that the government was really upping the ante. Justices Sotomayor and Scalia suggested that even if the unequivocal standard applies, Congress has likely met it. Justice Sotomayor cited to language in the Gonzales Act and commented, "I don't know how much clearer Congress has to get than to say it's nullified." The court universally bristled at the notion of leaving injured victims without any remedy at all. Justice Breyer stated, "What we've got on your interpretation is that a person who's hurt by a battery committed by a government official, given your interpretation, has no remedy at all." Justice Scalia, who recently published a book on statutory interpretation, pointed out that even if the sole purpose of the Gonzales Act is to assure immunity to doctors, we are not going to leave these people without any remedy. He said that, to be fair, you have to allow suit against the United States. Justice Ginsburg pointed out the inequity in the government's position, which would provide a remedy if a VA doctor had harmed the patient, but not if it was a military doctor. One should not read too much into oral argument. However, in this case, the court seemed generally more receptive to plaintiff's interpretation of the law. The court's questions of the government suggest that the court is unlikely to adopt an interpretation which would leave victims, such as this petitioner, without any legal recourse when the doctor has engaged in battery.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.